John chapter number 13. John chapter number 13. Hope you got your Bible. That's the greatest book you'll ever see or own is your Bible. It's God's love letter to mankind. And what a blessing it is to be free and be saved and be at the house of God. In John chapter number 13, I'm going to read two verses here. Verse number 34 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I've loved you, that ye also love one another." That's a commandment. Amen? You know, you may not like somebody, but Jesus commands you to love them. Amen? Have to work on this old flesh to do that sometime, don't we? But Jesus loves everybody. Even them that crucified Him, He died for them. And if we're going to be Christ-like, we're going to have to love one another. He says, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." You know, one of the worst things a Christian can do is get out in the world somewhere, in public somewhere, around people that might be lost or even Christians, and go to backbiting and talking about somebody. Amen. One of the worst things you'll ever do as a Christian. Now, look over a little further in chapter number 14. A couple of verses, two or three verses here I want to call your attention to before we get into the message here. Verse number 15, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, that's saying a lot, isn't it? This Bible is full of commandments. Some of them's hard to keep. Amen? But Jesus said, "If you love me," always consider Christ first, in other words. If you love Him, He said, "keep my commandments." Then in verse 21, He says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Verse 23, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he'll keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." A closeness is promised right there. If we'll keep the words of God, the words of Christ, the commands of Christ, then they'll manifest. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost will manifest their presence in your life. He says, "He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." Heavenly Father, Lord, I bow before you this evening, Lord, thanking you, God, for all your mercies and grace, Lord, that you've let come our way today, God. Lord, thank you, God, for our church, God, the assembly, God, that's here tonight. Lord, we pray, God, you take the word of God tonight, Lord. God, use it, Lord, to touch our lives, God. Lord, help us, God, to walk with you, Lord, a closer walk, God. Lord, help us, I pray, God, Lord, to live by your word, Lord, to do our best, Heavenly Father, Lord, to obey your commandments, Lord, to love one another, Lord, and to love you. We thank you, God, for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, we humbly pray. Tonight, I guess my thought would be the love of God. The love of God. You know, it's something that's commanded of you and I. This Bible right here, and certainly I can't touch anywhere near all the things that could be preached about the love of God. But it's something that we ought to have in our hearts. And we ought to do our best to live by His Word right here. And let me say this about the love of God. We ought to love God's Word. We ought to love our Bible. We ought to love our church. We ought to love our brothers and sisters. We ought to love the assembly of the saints. And let me say this, we ought to love sinners. Amen? We ought to love lost sinners and pray and long to see lost sinners saved. Amen. I'm glad that way back yonder in 1974, first Sunday morning in March, I came into a church of lost men. And no doubt there was people there that was praying for lost sinners to be saved. There was a man of God that was preaching to me, a lost sinner. And listen, friends, every time we gather ourselves together at the house of God, we ought to come together to worship Him, to love Him, to be obedient to His commands, and to long to see lost sinners saved. Amen. I'm glad for the tent revival that's going on up yonder in Carrollton, Georgia. I'm glad for all the souls that's been saved up there. You know what? There's some people up there that put on this meeting with something in mind to see lost sinners saved. They've been praying for it. They've been working for it. They've been giving to it. And let me tell you, it's a wonderful thing to hear about somebody getting saved. Amen. Listen, here's something else that the Bible says we ought to do. Love our enemies. Now, that's a hard thing to do, ain't it? Amen. But let me tell you something. You may not like somebody. And if you don't like somebody, you better watch out. It might grow into hate. Amen? You better kill it. You better do something about it. You better put on the mind of Christ and try your best to love your enemies. And we do have enemies. Not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to pat you on the back in life. Amen? And you're going to find out as you journey through life, there's somebody that's going to make an enemy out of you. Amen? God says we ought to love them. Amen. You know, there's been people in my life that's done me wrong. Amen. But there's never been a time when I wanted to see them die and go to hell. Never been a time. Never been a time. And we better put on the mind of Christ. The Bible tells us that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through that of the Holy Ghost. So if we'll get filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Word of God, and get our lives patterned according to the Word of God, and do our best to have the love of God in our hearts filled with the Holy Ghost, then people around us will be affected by that love. Amen? Amen. Now I want us to look at three things tonight. I want us to look at our love for Christ. I want us to look at our love for the church. And I want to look at love's characteristics. These three things tonight. Now, first of all, I want to say about our love for Christ. I'm going to say that the mark of true faith has to do with your love for Christ. Amen? How could you not love the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are born again child of God? When you consider what Jesus has done for you, how God the Father sent the Son into this world to go to an old rugged cross and to bear our sins there. We were guilty. He was innocent. He went to the cross and we could go free. We were condemned to die. But He died in our stead that we might have a chance at life. How could we not love somebody that did that for us? We ought to consider every day of our lives and think on our minds, where would we be without Jesus? I look back some 44 years ago when the Lord saved me. I wonder, as they sang that song a while ago, I wonder if I'd have rejected Jesus that day. I wonder if I'd be here today, if I'd be in hell. Amen. But Jesus saved me and He's been merciful to me all these years. It's been good. But the mark of true faith, I believe, is love for Jesus. I want you to look in 1 John right here. Look in 1 John right here, chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. At some verses over here. This chapter right here, you'll find John was a man that talked a lot about love. But I want you to notice right here in verse number 19 what the Bible says. We love Him because He first loved us. And that's a true statement, isn't it? Amen. I didn't love Jesus. I didn't love Him until He saved my soul and I got into God's Word and I began to realize that He loved me when I was lost. Hey, every time I cursed Him, everything that I did wrong, contrary to the Word of God, He still loved me and He came to me one day and He convicted me and drew me with cords of love and He saved my wretched soul from hell. Amen. We love Him because He first loved us. You wouldn't be saved if He didn't love you. Amen. But then He goes on. Notice what else He says right here. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. You can't love God and hate your brother. Amen. Your heart ain't right with God. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Bold statement, isn't it? Big statement. We as Christians, we're different. We're different. We're peculiar people. We can love our enemies. We can love each other. And we can quit backbiting each other. Amen? Amen. Mark of true faith, I believe, is shown in our love for Christ. Amen. And the mark of true faith, the love of Christ, is manifested in obedience. Obedience. The Bible teaches us that obedience is better than sacrifice. It's easy to be blessed of God, to come into the house of God and put a few dollars in the plate. And think we're doing God a favor. But there's something further that we can do to show our love for Christ. We can offer ourselves a living sacrifice. Amen. In service to Him. And that's what God would love to have us do. He don't need our money. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. This whole world belongs to Him. And I appreciate people that do give to keep the church going. But let me tell you, God is interested in you and you being obedient to Him. Amen. When's the last time that you realized you was a debtor to the grace of God? And you really felt like you needed to do something, in service and obedience to Him? When's the last time you said, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, use me. When's the last time? I believe if we love Christ, it'll be manifested in our obedience. We'll look to do His will. We'll want to do His will. We'll want to know what He wants out of our life. What His purpose and what His plan for is in our life. Amen? The love of Christ is the mark of true faith. It's manifested in obedience, but it also motivates our service to Him. What do you mean by that? I want you to look with me in 2 Corinthians for just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Look at something right here that Paul had to say. I'm talking about the love of Christ. It motivates our service. It compels us. Chapter 5, verse number 14 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ constraineth us or compels us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. What's the writer saying right here? We were dead in trespasses of sin. Had no hope in this old world, friend, but Jesus loved us enough to save us and give us a chance at life. Amen? And Paul is saying right here that the love of Christ constrains me. He gave me a chance at life. He saved me from hell. And now I'm motivated because Jesus loved me. I'm motivated to serve Him. Amen. give you an example right here. Now, we are human. And the problem in this church age that we're in today is lukewarmness. I like to call it sourness. Amen. Sourness. It's easy in the day that we live to get drawn away to the world and the things of the world, to turn your back and your love on God and get cold and indifferent. Amen. Let me give you a good example right here. In John chapter 21, Christ had done been resurrected. The disciples had done seen Him. And now they were gathered together in chapter number 21. And old Peter stands up and he says, I'm going a fishing. I'm going a fishing. Jesus had come to Peter and called him from being a fisher of fish to fishers of men. That's what God wanted out of Peter. But now Jesus ain't here. I'm going fishing. And everybody else said, we're going with you. And they got in a boat and they went fishing and they caught nothing all night. Jesus shows up on the scene and he confronts Peter. Peter's the one that started it all. But notice he didn't call him Peter. He said, Simon, son of Jonas. Looking back at the old man, Peter done turned back now. He was wanting to go back, and that's the way a lot of us do. We'll turn our back on God and we'll look back at the old life. The old man will draw us back into things that we shouldn't be doing. And three times the Lord said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou these more than me? And it grieved him in his heart. He confessed three times. Lord, you know I love you. Twice, he said, feed my lambs. The third time, he said, feed my sheep. In other words, get your life back on track. Forget about the old man. Get out here and do what I have asked you to do. Amen. It's easy to go backwards. Amen. Sometimes it's hard. Going forward. But God's looking for people that's willing. The love of God and our love for Christ. Secondly, our love for the church. Now I want you to think about this. The body. The church. We think of church too often as a building. Now I appreciate the fact that we've got a great place to meet. We've got a wonderful church, Liberty Baptist Church, but it's just a building. It's a place where the body of Christ assembles. Amen? We are the body of Christ. It's a place that we come together, that we can worship, we can pray, we can fellowship one with another, we can study God's Word. Hey, and there's so many things that we need out of the local assembly. We need fellowship. God has commanded us in these last days to assemble ourselves even the more as we see the end approaching. Amen? But notice this right here about our love of the church. Do you love the church? What does the church mean to you? I mean, do you really, really love the church as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it? You see, and Him should not perish but have everlasting life. In other words, He gave His Son into this whole world right here to sacrifice that there might be a church, a body of born-again believers. That's you and I. Now, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. God had a burden. Burdened enough for lost sinners. As Adam and Eve fell in the garden, God had a plan for a church. A burden. We ought to have a burden for our church. As Brother Ken preached a couple of weeks ago, about losing your burden. Well, we better keep a burden for the house of God. For the body of Christ. God had a burden And God gave His own blood. Amen. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And we're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. We're not bought with the blood of goats and calves. But Jesus carried His own blood into the Holy of Holies, having sprinkled the mercy seat of God for you and I, that we might have a chance at life. He gave His own blood. Nothing else could pay the price to set us free. Now, I want you to notice this right here in Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Jesus loves us. Now, notice this right here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. It says, wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Now notice this. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. When we sing about the blood, it ought to touch our hearts. When we read about the blood, it ought to touch our hearts that God would give His only begotten Son to come and suffer and die, shed His blood for you and I. We were guilty. He was innocent. He took our place. We were without hope. Strangers from the covenants of promise. But God gave His Son that we might have a chance at life. What a blessing. The love of the church. God had a burden for the church so much that He gave His only begotten Son to shed His blood for the church. Now, we're God's building. Notice a little further in this chapter right here. Ephesians 2 and 20 says, let's get verse 19. It says, now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We're God's building. God's working through us. He's building His church through His people. And we ought to have our we ought to stay in shape to be used of God and be a habitation of God through the Spirit of God. We are God's building. In 1 Peter, Peter tells us that we are a spiritual house. We're a holy priesthood. And we're to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by the Lord Jesus Christ. He says we are a peculiar people, a chosen generation, and that we're supposed to show forth the praise of Him who called us from darkness to His marvelous light. In other words, friends, when we come together and assemble as a church, God don't want no dead service. Amen? Listen. God wants us to be a lively people. He wants us to be a worshiping people, a thankful people. If we consider what God has done for us just this day, God's been merciful to every one of us. Amen. There's a lot of people that got up this morning, went out into the world, and never made it home tonight. Amen. God's been merciful to us. And we ought to be a people that worships Him and considers all His many benefits and the things that He does for us daily, daily, daily. He's good. We're His building. We're His bride. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 that Christ loved the church and He gave Himself for it. We're His bride. We're His body. He lives in us. And He works through us. Do we love the church like Christ loved the church. He loved the church enough to give Himself for it. I mean, listen, all these little old children, they need somebody to look up to. Amen? They don't need the people of this world, the athletes of the world and the singers and all this crowd to look up to. They need some saints of God that they can look up to and respect and know that they got something that's real and alive in them. So when we come to the house of God, friend, our love for God, our love for the church ought to be manifested in our worship. We ought not to be dead at the house of God. Amen. We ought to come looking to worship, looking for God to manifest Himself in our services and to do something great. Amen. Now, thirdly, I want you to look at this in 1 Corinthians now, chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love's characteristics now. Paul in chapter number 12, he teaches about the diversity of gifts and the importance of gifts in the church. And I'm glad we've got gifted teachers and gifted preachers and gifted in singing, playing. There's many different gifts that people have in the church. And God expects us, as He gives us an ability, a talent, to use it for His glory and to edify and build up the church of the living God. It's not for self-edification. Amen? You may have a wonderful talent, but let me tell you something, friend. It's all to God's glory and to His benefits. Amen? And He goes on in this chapter right here as He comes down to the end of chapter 12. Says He has spoken about the gifts and how we're to use them to care for one another. And if one member suffers, we all suffer. If one is honored, all the members should rejoice with it. And He goes on now. He says, covet earnestly the best gifts, He said, yet I show you a more excellent way. Now, what He has to say next is astounding. Amen? Those of you that studied your Bible know what I'm talking about. He says in chapter 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. Now, charity in this chapter is simply love. And have not charity, I'm become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now, let me say this, that gifts are a wonderful thing. And the reason He uses this thing about sounding brass or tinkling cymbal, brass is an alloy of copper and zinc. You've got to have the right amount of one and the right amount of the other, and it has to be put together to form brass. And if it's not the right kind of brass, if it's not formulated right, it just ain't going to get no sound out of the brass, out of the cymbal. Basically what He's saying right here. The same thing in our life. Let me say this right here. This chapter is what's known as the love chapter in the Word of God. And love is the key ingredient in a Christian's life. You hear me? After you're born again, the love of God is the key ingredient in your life and in your abilities and in your talents. Amen. He says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity or love, I'm nothing. What a statement. I mean, if I had all knowledge, if I was the greatest preacher, if I was the greatest teacher of the Word of God, if I understood all the mysteries of the Word of God, if I had so much faith that I could remove mountains, if I didn't love, if I didn't have the love of God, if I didn't love lost sinners, if I didn't love the Lord, if I didn't love His church, it'd profit me nothing. Nothing. It says it's worthless. You may get up here and you might be able to sing like a mockingbird. Amen? But if you don't have love motivating it, if you don't have the love of God, it's worthless to you. No good. No good. Why? God gives us abilities not that we might get puffed up in pride. Not that we might get puffed up within ourselves, but that we might build up those about us, others, the church, to be a blessing. Ought to be our desire. God honors humility. God hates pride. Amen. Love's character is what I'm talking about. It distinguishes who we are. Our love. If we have the love of God, it says a lot about us. It empowers us in how we act. And let me say, it's essential if we're going to serve God, to please God. As he goes on, now he says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, you can sell everything you got and give it to the poor. Get your name in the headlines, maybe. And he said, if I give my body to be burned, have not charity, profiteth me nothing. Doesn't matter to be a martyr, it's worthless. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Charity is long-suffering. Charity is kind to others when they're not so kind to you. Amen? Charity doesn't envy. Hey, listen to me. You envious of those about you? Envy is something that eats on a lot of people. Envious of those around you. But he says love doesn't do that. Love doesn't envy. Vaunteth not itself. There ain't no boast. Ain't no boasting in yourself. Amen? Ain't no bragging about me. Look what I've done. Amen. Why, I'm the best preacher in town. I'm the best teacher there is. Boy, I can do it. I can sing. Boy, I can sing. Boasting. God hates it. Thorn is not itself. It's not puffed up. You might as well X out pride. If you got pride in your life, you better do something about it. Because without Him, we can do nothing. Without Him, we are nothing. Goes on now, he says, doth not behave itself unseemly. Y'all got any problem behaving? How about it? Hey, it's easy to behave in church. Amen. Y'all behave on coming down the road, getting to the church? Y'all wasn't snapping at each other, was you? Listen. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Love is forgiven. Love, friend, is not seeking revenge. Love is seeking to make things right. Amen. Amen. Talking about the love of God. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Can I just say something real quick right there? God don't like gossip. Amen. Now, I could come out here and I could pick one of y'all out and I could spin you around out here and I could check you out and I'd find something to say about you maybe that was negative. Amen? You could do the same with me. Hey, if you could follow me through the day and know my mind and see me, let me tell you something, friend, you'd have you something to gossip about. Amen? But let me tell you what God says. He says we ought not to do that. Amen. We're the body of Christ. We're to build each other up, not tear each other down. And let me tell you, there ain't nobody in here that's perfect. We're all sinners. We're all guilty from day to day. That's why we have to die daily to ask God to forgive us of our faults and our failures. If you want to cut somebody down, you well can do it. Because if we looked at each other, friend, we'd find some faults in each other. Amen. But we're supposed to love one another and edify and build up the body of Christ. No gossiping, no tearing down. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in truth. I had a grandmother. I barely knew her. She passed away before I got very big, but it was my mother's mother-in-law. She said that if anybody in the house ever started to say something about somebody, she'd stop them. She'd stop them. And that's the way our mind ought to be. Amen. But you know what we're guilty of a lot of times? Somebody says, hey, did you hear about old so-and-so? No, what? Did you hear about old so-and-so? Shut your mouth. Amen. Shut your mouth. They're a child of God. They're a brother. They're a sister. We're not supposed to put them down. Amen. We're supposed to build them up. Amen. Pray for them. Restore them. In the spirit of what? Meekness. Considering thyself. Amen. Because you're just as sorry as anybody in this old world yourself, except for the grace of God. Charity never fails. Charity never fails. If we put on the mind of Christ and the love of God, get filled with the Holy Ghost, then we'll never fail in these areas right here. If we'll just put on Christ and get filled. Finishing up now, he says this: where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it'll vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. We're blessed to have a Bible. These people in this day didn't have the completed canon of God. We're so blessed to have everything that God wants us to know right here in front of us. He says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. In other words, he says, why don't y'all grow up? Why don't y'all grow up? Quit acting like a bunch of kids, a bunch of babies. God's looking for some backbone in the church, some pillars. He says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I'm known. Now notice this verse right here and we'll be through. He says, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Why would he say that? Faith will one day turn to sight. Today, we walk by faith. We live by faith. But one day we'll see Him face to face. Hope. We have hope in Christ now. But hope's going to turn to reality when we see Him face to face. Love is eternal. Love is going to last for all eternity. The love of Christ. The love of God. Can I tell you, we ought to examine ourselves. All right, is our heart right with God? Is my heart right with God? I've got to ask myself, is my heart right with God? Am I really, really obeying His commandments when He tells me to love everybody, to love one another, love the church, to love Him. I want you to stand with me around this house.